Everyone for coming. This is a much smaller crowd at the beginning, so I'm grateful to see so many here. I also want to mention that the pastor, he asked us not only to pray for him, but he asked us to take some time to fast for him while he's away in the Philippines, and him and the rest. And so I would encourage all of us to take some time, skip a meal or skip a night of watching television, or just giving up something that's important to you physically to spend time to show God how much this really means to us. Mm-hmm. All right, well, Travis and I are definitely different people physically. Okay. Well, we're going to begin the book of Philippians, chapter 2 and verse 19. I'm sorry, I'm starting verse 9, 19. I don't know. 9 through 13. 9 through 11, I'm sorry. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of gathering on this Thursday night. Though our pastor is away, we still come faithfully, Father, to serve you and to put you first in our lives. Lord, bless this service, and Lord, give me the right words to say. This we ask in your Son's holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the Bible here says that in verse 11, or verse 10 and 11, that every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, the Bible is absolutely 100% true 100% of the time. So when the Bible says that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and that every tongue should confess, it's going to happen. There is not one, and the Bible also makes it clear, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. So that means that in heaven, every person who's up there, all the angels, they're all going to bow down and say Jesus is Lord. Of things on the earth, that's all the people. Things under the earth, everyone who's condemned to hell, the demons, and everyone, including the devil himself, everyone is going to bow down and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. And when the Bible says something, you can take it to the bank, you can guarantee it 100%, it's going to happen. Every person in this room is one day going to bow down and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, I could sit here and just say, it's going to happen. But you know what? Not only are we going to bow down and say it, but you know, we're going to say it to a being who truly deserves it. No other person ever lived deserved to have that honor handed to him. And we're going to go through some reasons why he deserves it. He deserves it because of who he is. Probably one of the most famous passages in the Bible, John chapter 1. And verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, we learn right there. Why does Jesus Christ deserve to be bowed down to? Because he made everything. He is our creator. He made us all. This world exists because he created it. When you create something, when you create the world, that alone is enough to say you need to bow down to him. Because if he makes you, he can uncreate you. He can take you away. He can destroy you. Okay, now fortunately we have a loving God who doesn't do that. But yes. And also he deserves it because he is the rightful ruler of this world in the book of Revelations. Chapter 19. Starting in verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, and the armies which were in heaven, followed upon him, upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress on the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he, on his vesture and on his thigh is a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is where Jesus comes back. He is coming back to claim what is rightfully his from the beginning of time. That is the throne of earth. He's going to come back. He's going to sit on the throne of David, the Mount of Olives. He is our king. He is our Lord. He is our ruler. And as such, just from the fact that he is our ruler, he is entitled and worthy to being bowed down to and said, you are Lord, because he is. It is the title that is currently, Jesus called Satan the God of this world, because Satan is the one who really sort of rules things around here. But this is a time where that comes to an end. God says, enough, I want this world back, it's mine, I created it, Jesus, take it. And when that happens, Jesus will establish himself as the king of this world, and Satan will be cast away. And he deserves to be bowed down for that reason, because as king, he is entitled to that. He is our king and our deity. And those reasons alone are enough. But he also deserves it for another reason. He deserves it for what he did for us. Philippians, go back to Philippians and chapter 2. Starting with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which also is Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, one second. I apologize, my throat is very dry tonight. Now, we've already learned Jesus Christ is the eternal God, the maker of heaven and earth. We've learned that he is the rightful king, the ruler of this world. That, in fact, this Bible says right here, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Here he is, the Son of God, the eternal God, the Word of God. And it says, being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross to pay the price for the sins of all the world, every person. He didn't have to do it. He himself said he could call a legion of angels to come and destroy the entire world, kill every person if he needed to. And yes, he said, the Father if there was another way it could be done. But in the end, he went willingly, because that's what God wanted. That's what the Father wanted him to do. And that's what needed to be done. And he loved us so much that he did it. And now, one thing about the cross, we've all seen movies or read books or heard stories about how gruesome and how and how just how horrible that death was, how it was just pure torture, and it was the most torturous form of death they had at that time. The cross was actually designed to prolong the suffering of the condemned for as long as they could, because the Romans believed that death was a release and that there was no punishment in the next life. So they believed that, well, we have to torture you for as long as we can on this earth. That's why they use crucifixion. But, and while it was the most horrible form of punishment they had at the time, for Jesus it was much, much, much worse. Because something else was going on while Jesus was on that cross. In the book of Matthew, I like the name of that book, chapter 27. This is Jesus on the cross. And verse 46. And in the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, how I always have trouble pronouncing that word. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus Christ, though he was on the earth as a man, he was always connected to God, the Father. You know, he always prayed to him. God was always there for him. Throughout all eternity, the Father and the Word were always together. They're one being, two persons, but one being. But for this very brief period, the Father turned his back on the Son. Now, that is something that we as humans cannot even really begin to understand. How it is that, I mean, we understand why he did it, but we cannot begin to understand what Jesus went through. I've heard it said that Jesus probably took an eternity's worth of hell in just a few minutes for each and every person. And I believe that to be true. For the first time, the Son was separated from his Father, and he was alone, truly alone. Now, yeah, the physical pain of the cross was rough. I'm not downplaying that, but the spiritual pain of being separated from your Father like that, from his Father like that, is something that we can't even begin to measure in human terms. And the fact that he really did that for us, do you really need another reason to say he is Lord and bow down to him? But there is more. There's one more good reason why you should. Back in I'll just quote it. In Philippians, it says that we're going to bow down and confess to the glory of God the Father. If you want to glorify God, you will say Jesus Christ is Lord and you will bow down to him, because that's what he says he wants. The Father says, I have given him the name that is above every name. There are lots of names for God in the Old Testament. Jehovah, Elohim, a whole bunch of them. I am. But he says that the name of Jesus is above all of them. And if you want me to have glory, you will bow to Jesus. You will confess that he is Lord. That alone is a good reason. If you want to glorify God, you glorify Jesus. You say, you are Lord Jesus. And as Christians, we are obligated to do all these. We need to realize that, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord. We need to bow down to him for that. Jesus Christ died for us. We need to bow down to him for that. Jesus Christ, saying he is Lord, glorifies our God. That is all very true. That is something we need as Christians. We need to do as often as we can. Pray without ceasing. Praise God without ceasing. Now, obviously, you know, we look kind of silly if we spend our entire days doing this. But humbling yourself before God, yes, you can't walk on your knees all day, but you can keep yourself humble before God 24/7. Always remember that that the air you breathe is from God, the blood running through your veins does because of God, the food you have is because of God, all the good things come from God. If you get to work safely, it's because of God. If your car runs, it's because of God. If your car doesn't run, then maybe God has a reason for that too. But glorifying God is something that we Christians should do all the time, as often as we can. But there is one last reason why we're going to do it. Because no matter who you are, God's going to make you. You know, we are Americans. Our nation was founded after a revolution. Americans, oftentimes, when we're told we can't do something, that's when we want to do it. When we're told we have to do something, we tend to find a way to not do it. We don't want to do it. That's just how we are. And I understand that. But the thing is that this is the one area where, it's like, if we're told you're absolutely going to do something, we'll look for a way not to do it. Well, this is one area where no matter how hard you look, you're going to do it. No matter how hard you might try to get out of it, you're not going to get out of it. You're going to bow down one day. In Revelations chapter 20, starting in verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their word. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, this is what happens to the people who reject God. But here's the thing. The Bible says that everyone under the earth, that's all these people, every one of them is going to go before God and have their final judgment. And every one of them is going to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, I've heard people say that they look forward to an eternity in hell because they won't have to deal with God anymore, or don't have to deal with Christians anymore. I even heard someone once say that I'd rather go to hell than go to a homophobic heaven, which is true because God's not homophobic. You know, he loves them all. He loves every person. Okay, it's just what they do is not what he wants them to do, and they're choosing their own pride over following him, but that's another sermon, another day. But every single person here is going to bow down and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't care how much of a rebel you are. I don't care how prideful you are, how worldly you are, how much you hate God. When you get before him, you are going to drop to your knees and you're going to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. You're probably also going to say, it's too late for me. But you're still going to glorify him. And God's not going to, and the other thing is I don't believe God forces anybody to do it. I don't believe God holds you down and gets into your head and makes you say, Jesus Christ is Lord, against your will. I don't believe that personally. I think when you're in his presence, you're going to see how holy and perfect he is, and you're going to realize how lost you are, how wrong you were, how wicked you've been in your life, and you're going to say, you are Lord. I was wrong. You are Lord, Jesus. Because if God forces people to say it, then he's not really getting the glory, because he's forced people to do things against their will. But by getting into their presence and they see how holy he is, they'll have no choice to give him the glory, because that's all you can do. Not because God forces you to, but because it's just the truth of the situation. Now, like I was talking with Americans, in the end, you're going to bow down to God and say he is Lord. And America, and a lot of people in this world, especially here in America, we don't like to do what we're told. When we hear you're going to be forced to do something or you're going to have to do something, our first instinct is, no, they can't do that to me. But, you know, when you get right down to it, you are. So the best thing I could say is that, you know, it's better to bow down to God by humbling yourself and saying, you are Lord, I'm lost without you, God, please save me, than it is to stand before him when it's too late and it's like, uh-oh, I'm in big trouble. You know, whatever instincts you have of rebelling, your pride, your love of this world, your love of life, whatever it is, let go of it. Just go to God and say, God, I humble myself before you. You are Lord. Because I don't know about you. Well, you know, growing up as a kid, sometimes this didn't get into my head fast enough, but, you know, when my parents told me to do something, in the end, I was going to do it. And, you know, if I did it because they told me to, and I just went and did it because I was supposed to, it was always better when I didn't do it at first, and I got in trouble, and got punished for it, and I wound up doing it anyways. You know, that's just the way it works. And, you know, God loves you, and he just wants to be with you. He wants to know you. He wants to be your friend. Bow down to him and say he is Lord. You know, you're better off. You avoid hell, and you'll be happy in heaven, and you won't have to face the wrath of the white throne judgment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time of preaching. Lord, I hope I glorified you and did right by you today. I ask you, God, to please be with everyone here. Lord, be with our pastor as he is in the Philippines and all other people who are traveling with him. I ask you, God, to please help us. And Lord, let us glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.